Amen. It's good to see you this morning. It's always good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Around the Lord's people. Amen. Everybody awake? Amen. It sounds like I got about a 50% crowd here this morning. Everybody still saved?
Amen.
All right. Amen. I'm thankful for all the Lord has done and what He's going to do. Amen. And this morning we'll be back in Ephesians. We'll be starting in Ephesians, and then we'll be going to several other places here. I do want to say, as Brother Alex was mentioning, just continue to pray for the Fishback family. I believe the Lord will comfort and help them. And also, I believe the Lord has convicted some people through this, and you pray that they will respond. Amen. I really believe that. So you pray. We'd love to see somebody else get saved because of this. So you be in prayer. And as he mentioned tonight, we just made a decision, not just in a selfish way, but I'm tired. And I know a lot of other people are as well, just with the past few weeks and things going on. And that's one reason we're just making that decision for tonight. So get some rest with your families. Enjoy that family time. I know around our house that's limited, so we enjoy every extra amount of time we can spend together. Amen. So you do that tonight. I know there's some people recovering and a lot of things. So let's just take tonight and do some extra fellowshipping at home, and just thank the Lord that we can have the liberty to do that. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1. For sake of time, I'm not going to read up to chapter verse 15, but as we've been reading and going through the treasure we have in Christ, we left off talking about forgiveness and the blessedness of understanding and knowing that I am forgiven. And we could preach again today on that. Amen. Just the thought of knowing that when I stand before God, the devil can accuse me all he wants, but I'm covered. I'm forgiven. I do not have to hold on to the debt that I owe. Forgiveness. What a blessing to know that we're forgiven today. Amen. Are you forgiven?
Amen.
Amen. Just think about how blessed that is and what that means and the riches that comes with that. Amen. So we talk about forgiveness, and then we'll just go ahead and pick up. It's not going to take that long to read from verse number 8 down to verse number 15. He says, "Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye had believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for this time we can come back into Your house this morning. We thank You, Lord, as we laid the earthly house that Brother John lived in, we laid it to rest yesterday. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that He is with you today. And I'm so thankful knowing that one day, either when the trumpet sounds or if you call me home, I know that I'll see Him again. And I just praise You for that comfort and that joy that we can have in our hearts when a brother or sister passes on. They're in a better place. They're in a much better situation. And I just thank You for that. I pray that You'd help us today, Lord, in the message You've put upon my heart for Your people today. I pray that You would help, Lord, as I just try to deliver this to them, what You put in my heart. Lord, I just need the Spirit of God to fill us and to speak through us, the power of God to be on us, Lord. If we speak of ourselves and in ourselves and in our own strength, Lord, it'll be for nothing, it'll be for naught. But I'm asking You to fill us with the Spirit of God and help us today. And we'll thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at the inheritance. We had talked about the inheritance we have and being joint heirs with Christ. We are going to get back to that point a little later in this study, but the Lord has directed my attention this morning to go a little bit further and look at something. As Paul says that after he heard of their faith, after he heard that they had gotten saved, after he had heard of their faith in Christ, and after he had heard that after they had been saved by the grace of God, and then the love that they had to all the saints, that's something that follows. When you get saved, you start loving people. Amen. Hallelujah. That's another message. But your nature changes. When you meet Jesus, your nature changes. You start loving people. Paul said, he began to pray, and he was praying for something specific. In verse number 18, in verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of His glory, His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. What is Paul praying for? Paul is asking for a couple things. He said, I want God to reveal something to you, and I want the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. He's asking God to shine forth some light into our lives, is what he's talking about. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about, again, coming from the side of a lot of times we don't appreciate something until we don't have it anymore. And the thought of going back to another thing before we start getting into the inheritance and what we have now that we are saved and what we can look forward to. We've looked at a lot of things we have through salvation. And from this point, we're going to be looking forward into what we have because we're saved. Amen. And we've looked at all the things and all the blessings up to what allows us to be saved today. And now we're going to begin to look forward into what we have because we're saved. But today I want to look at one of the other things that we have as far as a treasure in Christ and through Christ and in Christ and because of Christ. That I do not think that we can look past or we shouldn't go around it, because it's one of the most important things that we should look at before and after salvation. What I want you to do is go with me to 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You've got to understand that from the beginning, the God of this world, the little g of this world, speaking of the devil himself, has tried and has blinded so many people's minds. What is he trying to blind them from? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The devil's goal, one of his main goals, is to blind people's minds from the truth, from the light. So we've got to understand, in order to understand the importance of something and understand, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but in order to understand the value, we've talked about the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy, and all these other things, but this morning I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ being the light. Now, all these other things we've talked about are things that He has extended to us. You talk about mercy, that's something He extended to you. Forgiveness is something He extended to you. Today we are going to talk about something that He is. And because He is, it brings value to us. The devil has tried to blind the minds of men, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Before we got saved, and I want to talk about this a little bit, because you never want to forget how valuable it was when the light came on and you understood you were lost. But see, the devil never wants you to get to that. He never wants the door to open up and the light to shine in just enough to show you, I am lost and without hope in this world. He is doing everything he can to keep the door closed in your mind. But I am so thankful, that as a young child, God allowed the light of the gospel shone through and allowed me to see, Brother Alex, that I was lost. Yeah. But it was only because of the light. Amen. That Paul, he was praying even after salvation, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I am thankful. Never lose the appreciation. Never lose what value it is that the light was what showed your need.
That's the whole reason He said He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And He did it through the face of Jesus Christ. I am thankful today the light came on. Amen. I am thankful I was not blinded for eternity. I am thankful that the light shone out of darkness. Amen. The devil is continually trying to blind the minds of those who are lost that believe not. He said in this specific text, he says he's trying to blind the minds of those men who believe not. The value of Christ being the light, first of all, He is the one that shows us our need, shows us who we are. But He also, in the same light, shows us He's everything we need. Amen. He's all complete. You don't need anything else. You don't have to go and grab Jesus and five other things. Amen. He showed you your need. Yeah, you're a sinner. You're lost and without hope in this world. But all you need is Jesus. Let me just ask you, how valuable is it for you to know this morning, those of you that are sitting here and you're saved by the grace of God, how valuable is it knowing that the light of the gospel was given and delivered to you? I mean, think about that. That is a value. When I think of the treasures I have in Christ, that is one of them that's way up here. Because without the light, I would have been blinded. Do this for me just for a moment. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes tight. Close your eyes tight. Now, I know there's still some light shining through your eyelids and things of that nature, but I just want you to use your imagination to help get a thought across this morning. Could you imagine, just on the physical side of life, and there are people who are blind and are not able to see, and only they would truly understand how to really preach this message this morning, in a sense, when it comes to the physical side of life. Could you imagine, with your eyes closed right now, and the darkness that you're experiencing just at the moment, could you imagine trying to make physical decisions every day based on what you see right now? Can you imagine trying to make decisions with your eyes closed of where you need to go? You know, where am I right now? Where do I need to go? How am I going to find food? How am I going to find my friends? How am I going to... I mean, you start asking yourself all these questions. All these questions. And could you imagine right now, and I'm just talking about the physical side of life, could you imagine living the rest of your life blind? Now, on the brighter side of life, those that are blind in a physical sense have other people that help them and guide them and help them through life. Amen? That's what a blessing that is. But what I'm trying to get you to see this morning is how in the world do we not appreciate just the physical light God gives us every day? Just the physical light. I'm just talking about the physical side of life. What a blessing it is, now you can open your eyes, to be able to open up your eyes. And because of the light that I see, and because of what light reveals in my physical life, Brother Greg, I am able to, on that light, make decisions for every step of the way throughout the day today. Just on the physical side of life. So how important is light to you? How important is that? How valuable is light? I mean, I know you're like, well, you know, I don't know. It's because you've never had to go without it. But in our physical life, we ought to be thankful that in the beginning, He said, let there be light. Amen? He said, let there be light. So how valuable that light ought to be to us just on a physical sense. But going beyond the physical, because we understand that the physical is not near as important as the spiritual. You know, what I think in our lives a lot of times is up to the point of salvation, we are appreciative that Jesus has done all these things. The mercy, the grace, the love, you know, all, the forgiveness, all the things that God has extended to us because He loved us. He's extended all these things to us so that we could be saved. And we get to the point of salvation. We're thankful that somebody showed us the gospel, that showed us the truth, and we came to the knowledge of salvation. And you come to that point where, yes, I'm thankful that somebody showed me the truth, somebody led me in the right way, somebody, God allowed somebody with the light, amen, of the gospel to shine in my life. Whether it was through sitting under a sermon or somebody just out witnessing or in a track or however the light came into your life, He allowed that to happen. But let me tell you something today. Paul was praying for something after you are saved, wasn't he? Didn't Paul say, now that I've heard of your faith and now that I've heard of your love for the saints, now I'm asking God to give you wisdom. And now I'm asking God to enlighten you and to reveal some things to you. What is he talking about? Do you realize that there is value in Christ in the light of the world, being the light of the world beyond our salvation? Just want to touch on a few things this morning. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life, listen to verse 4, was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's another verse, and I'm not here to preach this other message this morning, but there's you another verse that tells me that Jesus came and died for every man. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What I want you to look at this morning, going back to verse number 5 especially. And light shineth, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you understand, if you read that word and you look at the origin of it, and sometimes, I'm not saying I do try to read the whole entire Bible in Greek and Hebrew and all that, but sometimes just for a better understanding of the context of what he is saying here, I dive into the origin of where that word came from to kind of help us understand a little deeper sometimes what he was saying in the context he was saying it. And in this verse, what he is saying to us, and you can look for it yourself, he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What that verse is telling us is the light shines in darkness, and the darkness couldn't really do anything about it. Now let me take this a little further for you. Let me help you. Everybody's been in a dark room before, right? All right, when you walk in a dark room, most of the time, You don't just go in and wander around and try to find what you're looking for unless you're just a little touched. But normally, right inside the door is a light switch, right? And you simply will reach out and you'll flip on the light, and what happens to the darkness? It goes away. What he's saying is the light shines in darkness, and when light is present, darkness cannot be present. But now hold on a second. When I walk out of the room, there's not another switch on the other side of the wall. Has anybody ever installed a darkness switch in your home? Does anybody have a darkness switch? No. You simply, when you're done in that room, you flip the light switch off. And then what happens? The darkness comes back. What he's telling us here is, the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot be present where there is light. Darkness can only be where light is not present. Light can overcome darkness everywhere. Are you tracking with me this morning? Light always overcomes darkness. Every time I turn the light switch on, as long as the bulb is working, right? The darkness has to go away. That's the law of nature that God put there. And I am so thankful for that. I am so thankful that I've never walked in a room, flipped on the light switch, and I can barely tiny see just that light because the darkness just decided to overcome the light that day. It can't happen. It's not possible. What he's telling us is when the light, when Jesus, who's he talking about? He said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ becoming flesh. You keep on reading down through, and he's talking about Jesus coming into this world, and he was shining into a dark world. And where the light is present, darkness cannot be. So, again, just thinking about the value of our God in heaven sending His Son and all that He did because of His Son. But you know what? He could have made Him a lot of things. And He said He is the light of the world. I'm glad I don't serve a dark Savior. Amen? I hope we pick this up here in a minute. John chapter number 8, please. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is right after they were getting ready to stone this woman that they had brought before the Lord. And Jesus told them in verse 7, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." And they all had to leave, amen. And then he looked at her and said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" In verse number 10, "Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Amen. That's that forgiveness. Amen. Forgiveness. Mercy. Love. Compassion. Now look at verse number 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Do you remember a verse in chapter 1 that talks about He was the light of men? You remember when I read verse number 4? Let's go back just for some of you that maybe. In verse number 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then he just turns all that around and says, "I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, just thinking about the light, darkness cannot exist where light is present. Jesus just said, if you follow me, you shall not walk in darkness.
This is after salvation. This is after you've accepted Him as your Savior. You know, Christianity is, and my dad was talking about this yesterday in the funeral service, Christianity's, it's not just about grace. Yes, grace is what allows us to be saved. But being a Christian is a process. Amen? In order to be following something, you have to be moving in a direction. He said, "He that followeth me, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." What I'm trying to just help us understand this morning is if you, knowing the law that we just talked about, darkness cannot dwell where light is present. If you have an area in your life, once you are saved, where there is darkness, that just simply means you are not following Christ in that area of your life. Does that make sense? Jesus said, "If you follow me, you shall not walk in darkness." You're not going to walk in darkness. I'm not saying there's times when you don't come up close to a shadow of death or come up with some problems. I'm not saying you don't walk through troubles. But what he's referring to is if you follow Jesus, he will shed light abroad in your life. Some of y'all are looking like you're struggling with this a little bit. Psalm 119, 105. David even understood this. Y'all still with me? Psalm 119, 105. What did David say? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What I'm trying to say to you this morning is the value of following Jesus, the value of being in Christ and being a part of Christ and being a part of the body of Christ and being a follower of Him is He said, "You will not walk in darkness." If you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. And what I'm saying is darkness and evil, we're talking about sin. We're talking about the things that the devil tries to use to blind your mind from the truth. And he will continue to try to do that after you are saved. If he can't have your soul, he wants your joy. If he can't have your soul, he wants to destroy your family. If he can't have your soul, he wants everything else. And how is he going to do that? Trying to keep you in the dark. Jesus just simply says, "If you follow me, you shall not." That is a promise. That is not a maybe, might, so, possibly. That is if you have darkness in your life, you have an absence of light. You say, "Pastor, well, I'm struggling with this." Okay, apply the light of the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. I guarantee you, if you have darkness in your life, it's because there's been an absence of light. But you know what is a blessing? Just like talking about going in that back room right there. It'd be pretty dark. There's a window in there, but it'd still be a little dark. Do you know what? As soon as I hit that switch, the darkness goes. Right? Are y'all with me? It's not a process of, you know, a lot of people struggle, and I'm kind of getting in the middle of a, if you have an area in your life that is dark, and what do I mean? Maybe I need to define that a little bit better. Yeah, we're talking about sin. We're talking about maybe something as a Christian that you struggle with all the time. Okay? Besetting sin, whatever you call it, that's darkness. Okay? We live in a body of flesh. Amen? All right. I'm still amongst fleshly people, right? Amen?
But what I'm saying is, we struggle so much, and a lot of times we're looking to, oh, if I stop doing this, if I stop doing that. No, you just need to let the light enter. And the darkness will go away. He said, follow me, and you shall not walk in darkness. You say, well, how do I follow him? Start in the book of Matthew and read through the Gospels until you get the darkness out of your life. A lot of you just don't know how to follow him because you've never looked at where he's going. How can you follow somebody you have no idea where they're going? If you're looking at everything else in this world and looking at all the other things, that's why the devil wants to keep your mind away, and he wants to keep your mind plugged into everything else in this world. He doesn't want you looking at where Jesus is going. So a lot of the problem with the darkness we walk in and we encounter and we deal with every day is just the fact we haven't turned the light on. We make it so complicated, but it's not. And I know Brother Greg's going through the marriage and everything and in the adult Sunday school class. If you've got a problem, if there's darkness in your marriage, flip on the light. He has an answer for you. I guarantee it. Guaranteed. If you've got darkness in a friendship, in your children, or whatever it is, flip on the light. And he said, follow me and you shall not walk in darkness. There's a lot of people today, you know, the only thing I can say to you about, I'm not going to sit here and talk a whole lot about what's going on, but I just want to tell you, don't ever, and I've tried to tell my children, never make decisions based upon fear. We shouldn't live in that. I mean, no matter what's going on around us, you make smart decisions for your home and your family, but don't make them based on fear. Never. The devil always tries to get you to make decisions based upon fear. Amen? Warriors are taught. If they can instill fear in you, they have got you whooped. That's part of... If I can get you afraid of me, I'm pretty much... I mean, that's part of it. It's a mental thing. Amen? How did David conquer Goliath? Was David bigger, stronger, faster? He had faith in God. He was following. He didn't have any fear. He looked at Goliath and said, buddy, the Lord, and I'm going to paraphrase, is going to feed you to the birds. But David wasn't bigger, badder, better. No. He didn't let fear overcome him. And he followed the Lord. Amen. And we all know the rest of that story. You say, well, my darkness just looks so big. My darkness looks more than I can handle. It's just big. It's big. Yeah, but you know what? No matter how big the room, turn the light on. Amen. Darkness has to flee. It cannot exist. It cannot comprehend it. It can't do it. It can't. Darkness has never conquered light. You can try it all you want. You turn the lights on in this building, the darkness goes away. You turn the light on in your life spiritually, and the darkness will go away. Amen. So a treasure that we have in Christ this morning, just to recap all this, the treasure we have in Christ, the treasure that I have, first of all, understanding that the light of the gospel was shone into my heart. I know my English is horrible. But the light of the gospel was like a laser beam into my heart and showed me I was lost, without God, without hope, and I needed a Savior. But that same light said, come unto me. I've already paid the bill. I've already paid it all. It's all forgiven. The light of the gospel of salvation. How valuable is that to us today? And then after you're saved, knowing, and Paul was praying for them to have the revelation and that their eyes would be enlightened understanding the riches. Let's go back to that and I'll be done. There were two things he wanted us to see. And Paul, speaking from experience. All right, he says, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now listen to what he says. This is what he's praying for. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We've been talking about the glory of the riches and all the things that we have because of Christ. Amen. Because Paul knew if we lost the understanding of what we have in Christ, we would lose our motivation to live for Him. Right? But then he said, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places. Paul said, there's two things I'm really praying for you once you're saved, is that you never forget the riches you have because of Jesus. Number one. And secondly, and we're going to talk more about this following as well, but the exceeding greatness of His power. He doesn't want you to ever forget the value you have in Christ, all the things that we possess because of Christ, and then He said, the power that comes with it. Amen. We have so much because of Christ. Today, I just want to say I am thankful for the light of the gospel, and I'm thankful for the light of His word. I'm thankful for the light that He has shown in my life and the light that He gives us as we follow Him. And we're going to look, I'm not going to tie it together today, but you'll notice when He said He was the light of the world as long as He was here. But then He gives that responsibility to us. If you look at Matthew chapter number 5, He tells us, ye are the light of the world. We're going to look at how in the world that works. Amen? But that ties into that exceeding greatness of His power. Are you thankful for the light this morning?
Amen.
Are you thankful that He was the light? That God commanded light to shine out of darkness? I'm so thankful God inserted that light switch in my dark room. And He said, it's there. I've installed it. You just got to turn it on. You say, well, that sounds simple. That's pretty much as simple as I can put it. He put in the light switch. He paid the bill. You don't owe anything. You don't have a monthly bill that comes in like you get today for your electricity. Amen. He just said, here it is. It's free. Use it.
Amen.
Amen. It's here. How valuable the light is to us. What a blessing. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love You and we thank You. I praise You for all You've done. I thank You for the light that You give us through Your Word. You give us the light of the gospel for salvation. You give us the light of Your Word and Your way for our service. Help us to follow You every day so we don't walk in darkness. Help us to follow You in our lives. And Father, help us to never lose sight of the value, the treasure that we have because of You. We're so thankful for You this morning. Have Your will and way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd all stand, please. What number you got, Lydia? Page 316. We'll go ahead and... The altar's open, but I'd like to have you sing with us today. Would you just... respond as the Lord speaks to your heart. Maybe you just need to be thankful for the light. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me.